Okay, you need some friends. So it is half term. We don't have many children here today. So adults, again, you are welcome. Oh, yeah, we got some down here. Come on. This person needs some friends. Also, people who are good at pulling faces. Anybody who can pull faces, you can come up. And, I thought I had another Pathfinder. Jolly good. Oh, great. We got Bonnie as well. That's better. Fantastic. Okay, so we have two groups of people. Okay. As you know, we've been following the story of the first followers of Jesus, finding out what happened after Jesus died and rose again and went back to heaven, and how the good news about him spread. And it spread very well. Lots of people became followers of Jesus. You are the followers of Jesus, so hooray! Right, I just got an idea. They need some help. This side of the church, you are the followers of Jesus. This side, you're somebody else. So, the good news spread very well. Hooray! That's better. Okay. But the people who had put Jesus to death were not pleased. They didn't like Jesus, as Linda told us, and this new religion of Jesus followers. So, they started putting these disciples in prison. Ooh. Yeah, a bit worrying. And even worse, they had Stephen killed. Yeah. Well, you had Stephen killed, you lot. Wait, could you look a little mean and nasty? Yeah, a little mean and nasty, this group of people. All right. So, one of the chief persecutors, that's the people trying to get rid of these people, the followers of Jesus, was Saul. And this is where today's story begins. So Jane's going to take over reading, but I shall continue to direct operations a little bit from over here.
In Jerusalem, Saul was still threatening the followers of the Lord by saying he would kill them. So he went to the high priest and asked him to write letters to the synagogues in the city of Damascus. Then if Saul found any followers of Christ's way, men or women, he would arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem.
You two have got to back him up. You might not might not agree now, but too late. You've got to back him up. And yeah, disciples, you can look really worried now.
So can you.
Don't laugh. You can do it too.
So Saul headed towards Damascus. As he came near the city, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around him.
Do you want to come out the front here? Whoa.
Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up now and go into the city. Someone there will tell you what you must do." The people travelling with Saul stood there but said nothing. They heard the voice, but they saw no one.
They were a little bit concerned, though. They're looking a bit concerned. Oh, dear, what should we do about this? Do you think you should pick him up? Yeah, give him a hand. He can't see, remember. And you can lead him on towards Damascus. Slowly, he can't see.
Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but he could not see. So those with Saul took his hand and led him to Damascus. For 3 days, Saul could not see and did not eat or drink.
Oh, that's not very good, is it?
There was a follower of Jesus in Damascus named Ananias.
All right. This one's Ananias. He's in Damascus now.
The Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision. "Ananias," Ananias answered, "Here I am, Lord."
Wow, what do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be something really good? No. Is he going to tell you something really fantastic? He's chosen you. Yay!
The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to Straight Street. Find the house of Judas and ask for a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus. He is there now praying." Saul had seen a vision in which a man named Ananias comes to him and lays his hands on him. Then he is able to see again.
Oh, that's not such good news for you to do that. This is the guy who arrests people and has them killed. Whoa.
But Ananias answered, "Lord, many people have told me about this man and the terrible things he did to your holy people in Jerusalem. Now he has come here to Damascus, and the leading priests have given him the power to arrest everyone who worships you. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, I have chosen Saul for an important work. He must tell about me to those who are not Jews, to kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So Ananias went to the house of Judas. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus sent me. He is the one you saw on the road on your way here. He sent me so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something that looked like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was able to see again.
Hey.
Then Saul got up and was baptized. After he ate some food, his strength returned.
Pour it over him.
After he ate some food, his strength returned.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a story full of changes and reactions, isn't it? A big turnaround. So I've been thinking about turning around. Who knows what I do on Tuesday mornings? Some people do. Yeah. Some people even come with me, because what do? I walk. But not on my own. I lead a walking group. So off we go. Every second Tuesday. Wherever I lead them. And sooner or later, there gets a point where I say, "I think we've gone the wrong way." I think we're going to have to go back and go that way till we find out where we should be going. And we always do. We always do. It's always fine, isn't it? It is always fine. We always get there, and eventually we get to a pub lunch somehow or other. So, yeah, you know. But it's embarrassing for me, to be honest, because actually I think I'm pretty good at map reading and following directions and generally navigating, and this should not happen because I know what I'm doing. But unfortunately, it doesn't just happen on those walks. You should see me on the pre-walks with Andy. It's a lot worse. Not to mention car journeys. So I won't mention car journeys. And actually, not even just going places. I can get on the wrong track with anything, can you? You know, you think, this is the way this should be done. This is the way I am going to think about things, and so this is what I'm going to do. And then you get to that point where you realise, one way or another, you were wrong. That's not a very pleasant moment, is it? But of course, once you get over that, "Oh, I was wrong," it's so much better when you're back on the right track, isn't it? So much better. So let's think about Saul. Was he a really mean and nasty man, wasn't he? But he actually thought he was doing the right thing. He wanted to serve God wholeheartedly. He believed that the Jewish faith that he'd been brought up in was the one true way. So this new way, this following Jesus who was claiming to be the Son of God, this must be leading people astray. This couldn't be right. So it should be stamped out. And I think his idea was, the more Christians he got rid of, the more pleased God would be with him. Thing is, Saul was so intent on serving God the way he thought was best that he was blind to what God was actually doing. And that's weird, isn't it? Because when he met with Jesus, that's when he became blind. But I think it was God's way of saying to him, "No, you already were blind." Because all these signs and wonders that we've been reading about in Acts, they were going on all around you, but you refused to believe. Even the preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter and others, you refused to believe. Even seeing Stephen being stoned and him looking up and seeing the glory of Jesus as he died. But Saul had closed his mind. So, in the end, Jesus intervened directly, didn't he? To show Saul that he'd been going the wrong way. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" how do you think Saul felt when he realized he'd been persecuting the very God he wanted to serve? Must have felt horrified and ashamed, completely shattered. I think it would have taken all of those 3 days to begin to come to terms with the enormity of what had just happened. And he would be wondering, what next? Would he ever see again? Could the all-holy and powerful God he serves ever forgive him? Could he ever be trusted in his service again? And the answer to all of these questions, of course, was yes. But why? Why should God bring about this turnaround? Why bother with Saul, who was so obstinately refusing to believe the truth? Saul soon found out why. God knew him. He knew that once Saul realized the truth, he would become just as keen following Jesus as he had been in working against him. And wow, did God have work for him to do? It wasn't going to be easy for Saul. First, the disciples wouldn't trust him. Then his former friends and colleagues would not only disown him, but to seek to persecute him as well. He would need a new name, Paul, to make a complete fresh start in following Jesus. And he would learn through all his trials and tribulations that he could not carry on doing things his way and in his strength. He would need to walk closely with Jesus and accept the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, which he did. And all of this brought him greater joy than he'd ever had before he met Jesus. So what about us? Well, as I said before, like Saul, we can become set on ways of thinking and acting that, however good they seem to us, are not God's ways. We need to stay tuned in to what God is telling us and be ready to admit and change direction when we get it wrong. As Proverbs puts it, do not be wise in your own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Hopefully that way, we might not need such a dramatic turnaround as the one Saul had. But there will be times when God has to show us in smaller ways that we've been getting it wrong. It can be humiliating, but we need to remember the Lord disciplines those he loves. And when we are set back on God's paths, then we can experience the joy of walking closely with him. And sometimes those moments when you have to turn around are the moments when you come closest to Jesus. And the example of Saul shows us it doesn't matter how far wrong we've gone. Once we turn back to Jesus, he's ready to forgive us and enable us to follow him more faithfully. This story, though, isn't just about the big turnaround for Saul, who was here. What about these folk over here? The followers of Jesus. Things were getting really tough. There had been a few miraculous escapes from prison to begin with, but then the stoning of Stephen, an actual death. How many more? Who would be next? Would they be strong enough to cope? Or would they be wiped out? They started to escape from Jerusalem, only to find Saul is following them. I wonder what they'd been praying. Lord, please help us escape from Saul. Or even, please stop Saul from persecuting us. But I wonder if they remembered the words of Jesus. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I like to think that they did, that they prayed that Saul would actually become a follower of Jesus, not just to give them a break. And then they hear that Saul has not only stopped persecuting them, but is actually preaching the good news. Whatever they had prayed, I bet they were still amazed when it happened. We know some of them found it hard to trust him. So what about us again? We're not persecuted as they were. But we do know people who, like Saul, seem as far away from Jesus as you can get, and others who seem intent on making life difficult for us. Do we pray for those people? Or do we limit our prayers to those who we think are likely to become Christians? Maybe take time this week to pray for one of these people and trust the outcome to God. Since the time of Saul, there have been countless wonderful stories of people whose lives were completely turned around when they met with Jesus. I know there are people here who can witness to that. And there are others of us here who know other people who can witness to that. And of course, at this point, the whole early church gets a big turnaround. From a situation where there was a real possibility that they could be completely wiped out, they started to spread the good news to new areas, and their chief persecutor becomes their chief supporter. So much of the second half of Acts, which we'll come to at some point, is taken up with the missionary journeys of Saul, who became Paul, and the good news spread out towards the ends of the earth. So I was typing out these notes on Thursday afternoon while it poured with rain outside, you remember? I'm not a fast typist. I was totally absorbed in my task, you'll be pleased to hear. And suddenly Andy came in and said, "How about a stroll?" What? I looked out the window. All the clouds had gone. The sky was a beautiful pale blue, and it was a lovely sunset. For me, that was a reminder of how God can transform situations. It reminded me of that lovely old hymn, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform." I like the verse that says, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." See, God doesn't just remove obstacles and difficulties. He turns them into blessings. Maybe think now of a situation that seems impossible to resolve. Maybe something you're really worried about, or something you're dreading. God already knows how to take you through it safely and how to turn it into a blessing. God's turnarounds are not just for our own benefit. They are the way he extends his kingdom on earth and brings us close to him. We do not know how and when God will bring a turnaround in our lives, or our situations, or the lives of people we know. But we do know he can do it. And we trust that he will do whatever is right for us and for his glory. Amen.